What that means is I want to put it where it's not on a scholarly level, but a level where a common man can have a commentary, that they don't have to have Greek or know all that stuff. Because I think that a lot of our commentaries are way over the heads of the people that are reading them. It's designed for preachers. And so I want my commentary to be designed for people like my daddy, who could barely read, but he could get simple application. Amen? So hopefully you'll pray for me. I only got two books left to do. That'd be Mark and Luke. Rather, Luke and Matthew, and I'll be finished with New Testament. So hopefully in the next year or so, we'll be coming out with that. Hopefully I can at least get someone to, we can get that published. And y'all pray for me on that effort. Is that good? So that's kind of why you see me do verse by verse. And that's why I manuscript. I don't just stand down there and preach like some people like ad libbing. I want mine in notes. I want it to be able to go back and read them. I want my children to have them. I want them to have my handwritten notes 20 years from now when I'm 30, 40, 50 years. Sleeping beneath the sod, they have something they can say, oh, that's daddy, daddy did that. And so that's some of the things I'm doing. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're honored guest of the audience. We thank you for coming. We pray today that you obey the gospel and that you'll be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen? John chapter 10, let's go there. John chapter 10, I am come that you may have life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered in, not by the door.
Into the sheepfold. But climbeth up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber.
So the definition is that for keywords, that the sheep is bringing the application to us, the sheep or the Christians. The sheepfold is the church. The door is Christ. The shepherd is Christ. And anyone trying to bring someone into the church other than through Christ is a thief and a robber. That's simple. So as Christians, we have to see in this lesson that we are the sheep. He's our shepherd. And Christ owns the sheepfold, which is the church, and he owns the sheep in the sheepfold. Verse two, he said, But he that entereth in
by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
The one who comes in through Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. This is very plain to those familiar with the Eastern sheepfold. The door for the shepherd of the sheep was managed by the sheepfold was like a pen, where they will pin the sheep up until they get ready to take them to a pasture to feed. That's why they are led to the pasture. They were in the sheepfold, in the protected place, and there the shepherd would make sure every sheep was in there and protected from the robber who would take a sheep, kill it, take his coat from him, take his skin from him, and eat him. So that's what the devil do. The devil want to take every sheep from the church, kill him, take his clothes from him, take his armor off of him, and eat him alive. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Verse 3, The porter opened, and the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And he calleth
his own sheep by
the sheep that he owned by his name.
And he leads them.
Now he says to him. The him is Christ. The him is the shepherd that owned his own sheep. Christians are owned by Christ. He purchased them with his blood. Therefore, he's the owner of the sheepfold, which is the church, and every sheep in the church he owns. Now, the porter is a hired hand who stands at the gate of the pen, hired by the shepherd to guard the gate. Now, the shepherd knows every sheep by his or her name. Just like some of you got puppies that you name. And you can call the name of that puppy or that dog, and that dog perks up because that's his name. Now, the shepherd never drive the sheep. What I mean by that is that when you got cattle, you take a prod and you guide them to where you want them. You drive them. A shepherd, Christ, the sheep know his voice, and the shepherd says, come on, and the sheep follow him because the sheep responds to the shepherd's voice. So, for application, that's all I'm trying to make. We are in the sheepfold. Our shepherd is Christ, and he leads us to green pastures. Verse 4.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him.
See that? He's before them. What it means, he's leading the sheep.
For they know his voice.
For they know his voice, and a stranger.
And a stranger will they not
follow. They won't
follow
strange doctrine that was for us. You don't follow something that Christ didn't say. That's strange doctrine. That's what you see today. Many preachers preach what they want to hear, what the people want to hear. But the sheep that are Christ's sheep are listening for the voice of Christ.
But will flee from him.
The stranger, they won't follow, but will flee. They'll run from the voice of the stranger, which means we should run from anything Christ didn't say. If there is a church that Christ didn't mention, that's not the shepherd's church. And we should run, flee from any doctrine or teaching that the shepherd never said, such as accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That didn't come from the shepherd. The shepherd said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the voice of the shepherd. Verse number 6.
And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Now, he going to break it down because these Jews, let me understand. Now, here's what the scene is set like this. What Jesus is doing, he's dealing with Jews who just kicked the blind man that he healed on Sabbath with mud and spit out of the synagogue. So they're upset at him anyway. They're trying to kill him. So, you know, understand this about people. When folk want to take you down, they're going to do whatever they got to do to take you down. They're not going to try to save you. They're not trying to save Jesus. That's the way people are, too. When they have something against you, they're not going to do things to save you or help you. They're going to do things to further hurt you. And that's when you know it is not love. When they do things to further hurt you, when they know, then they already know that they're going to kill him. That's their motive. And so they didn't understand what he meant, so Jesus is going to come out and just tell them. This is going to upset them here. This is going to upset them because he said, now, y'all want to know who the door is? I'm the door.
I am the door.
I'm the door. And he letting them know, now, I'm the door. Now, this is going to upset them because this is another I am statement. This statement, I am more than you giving me credit for. I am the door.
By me, if any man enter in.
Anything other, like I'm the way and not these Jewish leaders who are sitting here telling you I'm not from God. Read.
By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved.
Now, the only way into the sheepfold is through Christ. If you go into a church any other way than Christ said go, you're not going to be saved. Verse 8.
And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Now here it is. So the only reason another person will want to come into the sheepfold, and is he's talking about the thief, he's got that sheep has value. So he want the wool off of him. He want the meat to eat.
To kill.
And he want to kill.
And to destroy.
And destroy the sheep. The shepherd is to protect the sheep in this pen or the sheepfold from the wolf. Now, if a thief is at the door protecting the sheep, but his motive is to steal and kill, we're going to see what Jesus say he going to do.
He said, that they might have life.
Here's why I came as the shepherd, is that the sheep might have life. That's my sermon title right there. And
that they might have
that
it.
That they might not just have life, but the sheep in the sheepfold, the Christian in the church, might have, I mean, not will have, might have it.
Oh, more. Right there.
The sheep, you can be a Christian if you want to. So Christ as the shepherd has given man a decision. If you want protection from the wolf, I have come that you may live. In other words, that the sheep don't get killed by the wolf, which is the devil. So I came so that you have a place of safety. But you ain't gonna just have a place of safety, because I own the sheepfold and I own every sheep that might want life. That's why John 3:16 is about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believed in him, what? Should have. That's a choice of the individual. Not shall have, like these denominational preachers, grace preachers are preaching today. They put that, they take should out and put shall in. And they put take might out and put shall have eternal life. No, it's not shall. It's not shall. It's not, he said might. In other words, we have to make a decision. Do I want in the sheepfold?
And might have it more abundantly.
Now, once they're in, their life will be more than just life. It's an abundant life. We're coming back to that one. Now we're at verse 11.
I am the good shepherd.
Now, then he comes down and says, I'm the shepherd I'm talking about. Now, then notice these Jews are listening. He said, no, I'm a shepherd, but I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And he said, I'm the good shepherd.
The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Now, here it is. And let's get Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 1 Peter 5:4. And this is what Jesus, now y'all write these down. Hebrews 13, 20 and 1 Peter 5:4. Got it? Mm-hmm.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep.
Now notice, when he was given his life, he was considered the good shepherd. Now the Hebrew writer, after his resurrection, he's a great shepherd. And notice what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:4. In 1 Peter 5:4, the
behold,
Bible says,
mm-hmm. Behold, and when the sheep, chief shepherd.
Now which
appear,
one? Which one is he? Now, no,
the chief shepherd.
Okay, good when he died, great when he resurrected, chief when he come back. See, he's chief when he come back. In other words, he's chief shepherd. Now, I am the chief shepherd. He said, now, what read on what Peter say?
And when the chief shepherd shall appear,
yes,
ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen. I'm glad I got a good shepherd. Yeah, he came to get, not to just not to just die, but to lay down his life, to give it. That made him good. When he got up from the grave, that made him the great shepherd. When he come back to get the sheep, to take them to a great place called heaven, he going to be the chief shepherd at the time. It ain't good. I don't know about y'all, but I want him good. I want him great and seeing him as a chief. Don't you? Amen. Amen. I mean, let's go back to chapter 10, verse 12. Verse 12 through 16.
But he that is a hireling.
There you go.
And this not is the shepherd.
That's hired to watch the gate, but he ain't the shepherd. Right? He's going to watch the gate. But guess what? His motive, no, he's the hireling. It's hard to be there. The shepherd gave his life to be there. That's two different things. What he said now, the hireling.
Whose own the sheep are not.
And that hireling and not the shepherd. Whose own the sheep are not. He don't own the sheep. He's not the shepherd of sheep. When he's standing at the gate.
Seeth the wolf coming.
See a wolf coming to eat the sheep.
And leaveth the sheep and flee.
He gonna run. He ain't thinking about them sheep. Them sheep, I was gonna eat them anyway. But I got a choice. Eat the sheep or the wolf eat me. I'm gonna give the wolf the sheep and save me. Then Jesus is gonna have an opportunity to do that too.
And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep.
Yeah, so the wolf will eat up the sheep. The pen the sheep were in, the gate was unprotected. And so the shepherd is saying, if I put a hired man there, and they don't love him like I do.
The hireling fleeth.
He going to run when he sees sheep.
Because he is a hireling.
Because what?
He is a hireling.
He only there for the money.
And careth not for the sheep.
He don't care for them sheep. He just there because he getting paid. So Jesus didn't get paid to be there. What he did was a decision. He said, here's what he said. I am
the good shepherd.
Y'all need to know about me. I'm the good shepherd.
And know my sheep.
I know who's in the church. See, I like that. The God, Jesus said, I know every one of you that's in the sheepfold. Know what he said?
And am known of mine.
And they know who I am. No, read on.
As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father.
Now,
And I lay down my life for
now,
the sheep.
Now, there he comes and say it again. He said, I know the Father. The Father know me, but I'm the one laying down my life for the sheep. So Jesus said, I know the Father, and the Father know me. But church, I chose to lay my life down for you. Notice what he says.
And other sheep I have that are not of this fold.
Now what he's saying. There are other sheep that are not of the church of this fold. Which means the Jews had Judaism. Jesus came to start Christianity. He was going to bring the Jews first into Christianity. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. We are considered Gentile, get Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses number 1. So what there was a mystery that the Jews didn't understand. The mystery was that the Jews didn't understand he was teaching there would be a sheepfold. And there will be the Jewish sheep would come in first, and there will be other sheep that would come into the same pen, which is the church of Christ, and they would come in by one source, and that would be the shepherd. Ephesians chapter 3, for the time where the Bible
for
says
this
what?
Cause for I, Paul, Paul said, the prisoner for this of call, Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.
He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. What?
If you have heard, of, a dispensation
heard of the dispensation
of the grace of God.
Now, under the Old Testament, there was not the dispensation of the grace of God. time period was Abraham, patriarchal, then Moses came, and then the good shepherd came. And when the good shepherd came, that be called the Christian dispensation. But because the good shepherd haven't died on the cross, he is not the great shepherd yet. He's the good shepherd. He came to lay down his life. So now Paul said, I'm a prisoner.
Have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Which now, is remember, given
to you. Grace and truth. When you want to hear about grace, you got to see Calvary's hill. Jesus was grace on the cross. He was full of grace and full of truth. You want to be saved by grace? Absolutely, we're saved by grace when we do what grace say do. Amen. See, the world out there want to paint this picture that the other sheep they're talking about is that, see, the Church of Christ is a group of sheep, the Baptists is a group of sheep, and the Methodists are a group of sheep. And those other sheep can come into my one church. Now, that's what the world wants us to believe, that you can be Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever you want to be, because all of us are just sheep, and the sheep all came into one fold. And they want to go to Revelation and say, look at the seven different churches in Revelation. No, there were seven different cities in one church.
All golden candles.
One sheepfold. It was, and I'm going to show you. The mystery is revealed in this text. Look what he says.
How that by revelation,
Paul
he
said,
made known
God
to
made
me
known
the
by
mystery.
Revelation. He told them what to write in the scripture.
As I wrote afore in few
Paul
words.
Paul said, I wrote it in there.
In few words.
In few words.
Whereby when you read.
When you got the read.
Ye may understand
the
my knowledge in the mystery.
The reason people don't understand the one church is because they don't what? Read it. That is not our fault. That ain't something we should apologize for. That is the fault of the people. That you might, I came that you might
have life.
Have life. You have a choice. Read it.
Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge
understand,
of the mystery
Paul,
of Christ.
You understand my knowledge of what?
Of the mystery of Christ.
Now here come the mystery.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons
Abraham
of men.
Abraham and Isaac and them, they know. Moses didn't know. When other ages were not made known to
as
the son.
As it is now revealed.
As it is now in the New Testament time.
Revealed
in the
unto
Christian
his holy apostles.
It's revealed by who?
Unto his holy
the
apostles by
not
the
in the
prophets,
Old Testament.
By
they
the
could
Spirit.
Reveal it. They revealed it in the New Testament. The apostles, the prophets prophesied about it. But they revealed it in the New Testament.
By
the
Spirit.
And they did it by the Spirit. So the Spirit grabbed the hands of the 12 apostles. They wrote it in the New Testament. And it revealed, and here come the mystery.
That the Gentiles would be fellow heirs. Of the same
of
body.
Of the same church.
Amen.
That makes sense? That the Jews and the Gentiles will have fellow heir in the same body.
And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
In Christ, no one can get in the sheepfold without Christ. And they're going to do it by?
The gospel.
Gospel. And why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone to believe it, to the Jew, and also the, got it. The gospel is the power to bring the sheep in, because it's the power, drawing power of the voice of the shepherd. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto. You say, well, Brother Brooks, put that right there. Flip that up so I can get my, it's real easy. Ephesians 1:22.
And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body.
Church is his what?
His body.
His body. So this is the church. Church is also known as the sheepfold. sheep will be in the church. The shepherd of the sheep is Christ. And this would now be made up of Jews and Gentiles. One church, the church wears the owner's name. The owner of the church is Christ. That's why it's called the Church of Christ. And you don't have to ever be in it, but don't expect to go to heaven. So how, Brother Bruce? I said, you ain't going to heaven. Because for you to go to heaven, the sheep lied. The shepherd lied to us. Either I'm going to believe the shepherd, or I'm going to believe you. And guess what? I'm not going to believe you. And it's not wise for you not to listen to the shepherd. Because the shepherd's voice is written in red. In some of y'all Bible, it's in red. Yeah, and he's the shepherd. And he gave us his word. And what he said to us is that, hey, if any man will hear my voice, he might have what? Life. Let's go back over to the second clause. So all I was making there, the Jews in this case, or the hirelings, they ain't, or any, and you, modern day application of that, is a man can take, you can do what I do as a preacher, build a church, put your name on it, preach Christ on the inside, and he ain't Christ, not the shepherd. All he is a hireling. I'm going to tell you why. You look at these mega churches. You know what them guys are? They filthy rich. You want to know how they filthy rich? Because folk come in there, and they never read this, and they let them thieves and robbers take them for their money. They care not about the sheep. They care not about the soul of the sheep. Nothing irritates me more than a denominational preacher who tell people what the Bible didn't say. And it all irritate you. And shame on you and your soul salvation. If you can't get this down, it's not that you don't have a mental capacity. It's that you don't want to believe it like that. Amen. So listen to what Jesus, now watch Jesus tell us he's different.
And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, yeah, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
What's the fold? What's the fold? Church. Who's the shepherd?
Jesus Christ.
Who going to be in it?
The sheep. His sheep.
Christian. Sheep. Are they going to be all black sheep? All white sheep? All Gentile sheep? A Jeep sheep? Just sheep. Black sheep? White sheep? Pink sheep? Blue sheep? Sheep. Here a sheep, there a sheep. Everywhere a sheep, sheep. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Remember what Jesus, what the great shepherd said when he got up from the grave? He said, go teach all nations. Now that means all nationalities would be in the sheepfold. So we got that part, don't we? Okay, so let's get to this next part.
Therefore doth my Father love me.
Now we got that. He's saying, God, my Father who sent me love me.
Because I laid down
my
life.
My Father loved me because I laid down my life.
That I might take it again.
Uh-huh. No man. Notice this. They trying to kill him. He said, no man.
No man taketh it from me.
You're not going to just kill me. You can't just kill me. No man can do that.
But I laid down of myself. I
laid
down of myself.
I'm going to die is because I'm doing it myself.
I have power to lay it down.
I can lay it down and give my life if I want to.
And I have power
to
take it.
I don't have to give it. I can tell and say I'm not going to die. But this commandment to give my life for my people came from my Father. The difference between Jesus and the hireling is Jesus has a vested interest in the sheep. And he invested his whole life. He shed his blood. He laid down his life. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Before his shearers dumb, he would open not his mouth. Though he was a son, Hebrews 5:8, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them. Notice this. That obey him. How they gonna obey him? They got to hear him. How they gonna know it's him? They got to hear his voice. How do we get his voice? By revelation. I wrote it in a few words. is wrong. Peter, get Matthew 26 for me. Peter thought he had to protect Jesus. He said, I'm doing this on my own. They can't just kill me. Peter, after Judas had kissed him, they arrested him, and Peter had a sword. And what Peter did, in verse number 52, Peter pulled out the sword, and he cut Malchus' ear off. Here's what Jesus said to him.
Put up again that sword into his place.
They can't kill me unless I want them to kill me. And he said, put that sword up
into his place.
Back where it belongs.
For all they that take the sword,
anybody who takes the sword shall perish by the sword. Notice what he says.
Thinkest thou that I cannot?
What are you thinking, Peter?
Now pray to my Father.
That's why I said simple preaching with a simple understanding. What people can say, all he's saying is, you don't have to have an American Standard Version to take that and just understand. You got to have somebody to say it to you in English. That's all we're dealing with. For those who are interested in other versions. I don't advise them some dangerous versions out there. But a preacher, we supposed to put it where you can get it. And all he's saying to him is
think
that Peter,
thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father?
You don't think, you think they arrested me because I'm not God? What are you thinking? What he's saying to him, you don't see me walk on water. You don't see me heal the blind. You see me turn water to wine. And then I took mud and spit. And you still think that they can do something to me? Who am I, Peter? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Well, you don't act like I'm the Christ. You pulling a sword out, cutting a man's ear off, think you protecting me. Here's what you need to know about me.
Thinkest thou I cannot now pray to my Father?
You don't think I can say, God?
And he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels.
You don't think I can stop right now? Judas done kissed me. You got your sword out. They got me arrested. You don't think I have the power of prayer? He said, you don't think I got the power of prayer where I can pray to my Father? And he says,
he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels.
He can send right now, Peter, 12 legions of angels.
More than 12 legions of
angels. He didn't say, no, that's a 6,000 in a legion times 12 is 72,000 angels. And he said, I can ask God to send them, and he's going to send more than 72,000. What that sword going to do? Man, that's the power of prayer. He's letting them know, I am God. My Father's response to me would be angels on the spot. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, God sent an angel, being sent but one. He only sent that one to comfort him. He didn't send that one angel to the cross. Not even one angel showed up. Because Jesus was laying down his life that we might have life more abundantly. Go back to John now. Let me close this out. Let's go back to John. Yeah. Verse number, where we at?
We stopped at 18.
What did he say? Read 18 for him one more time.
No man taketh it from me.
And see who he said? Now notice they're not taking it. I have power to get some interruption here, but I'm not going to let them interrupt me.
And then I lay it down of myself.
I'm giving it freely. Nobody can take my life. I'm giving it to myself. Read on.
I have power to lay it down.
And
I have power to take it again.
Who are we talking about? The good shepherd. What are you doing? Laying down his life freely. What is going to happen? Nobody can just take it. What are you doing? Keeping the commandments of his Father.
This commandment have I received of my Father.
Keeping the commandment of a Father. Read the last few verses there. This closes out real quick. Look what they're going to do.
There was a division, therefore, among the Jews
for the this thing.
The Jews, oh, what is this?
And
is
many
this
of them said, you know, of them he had the devil.
Some of them said, man, this guy.
And is mad.
He got a devil in him.
Why hear you him?
Why are we listening to this guy?
Others said,
These
are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?
Some of them came to their senses, didn't they? Said, man, this can't be no devil, man. He done opened this man's eye with some spit.
And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication.
That's good right there. Now, here's what I want to do in closing. Jesus came that we might have life, but not just life. He came, and that's talking about eternal life. That life beyond the grave. Everlasting life, John 5:29. He came. Now, that word abundantly, if you go to it, it's not like exactly like we use it in English. The definition in Greek at the time was a sense of beyond, superabundance in quality, or superior in quality, excessive, exceedingly above, advantageous, exceedingly very high ranked, beyond measure, superfluous. And what we all need to understand what that means. As a child of God, we have, because we've obeyed the voice of the shepherd, because we are in the church of Christ, because we are in the sheepfold, we have excessive, super abundant blessings. We got super abundance of peace, super abundance of love, super abundance of mercy, super abundance of forgiveness, super abundance of spiritual blessings, prayer, power, grace. We got long suffering. We got all the things that come that Jesus said, I came that you might have life, but not just life. What you got as a Christian far exceeds. It's superfluous. It's super beyond. He said, I might give you life, a life beyond measure, a life where you'll cry no more, a life where you'll die no more, a life where you'll never be a funeral again, a life where there be no more hospitals, a life without pain, a life without dialysis, a life without chemotherapy, a life without bills, life without pills, life without stress, life without sadness, life without tragedy, life without evil people. Superabundance of life. I'm going to give you a superabundant, beyond measure, beyond imagination, a home that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what God has waiting for us when we trade our earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I join him in that land where tears nor sorrows can be found. When I receive my mansion, my robe and a crown, a home beyond measure, a home that's superabundant, a holy city, a tabernacle with beauty beyond what we've ever seen, a city with mansions, a city with a street of gold, a city with walls of jasper, a city with gates of pearl. No sun in that city, no moon in that city, no nighttime in the city. God will be in that city. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. I came that you might have life beyond your imagination. Life beyond measure. People can destroy me. People can stress me. People can do us wrong. People can take you down. Jobs can take you down. Sickness can take your happiness. People can make you cry.
Trials can make you cry. Trials, tribulations, trials dark on every hand. I may not understand how God gonna lead me to that blessed promised land. I'll guide you with my eyes, but follow till we die. We'll understand it all better by and by. Because I came that you cry no more. I came that you sorrow no more. I don't know who here, but I live life like you. We all live life. But I didn't come to give you life here. I came to give you life everlasting. Then when you're in this life, as the shepherd suffered, so must the sheep. And I don't know what you came with this morning. What pain, what sorrow, what sadness. I don't know what help you came with. What challenge you having in your marriages. I don't know what you're going on in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I do know Jesus done came. The good shepherd came. I laid down my life that you might have life in the abundance. In the abundance. How many of y'all want that life? I want that life. You do it. We're hearing that. When he came to lay down his life, he came through Virgin Mary. Lived the life of a young man up to 33. Started performing miracles. Then they will arrest him. Judas would betray him, one of his very own. He left with a few, started with a lot of disciples. Left with a few in the last 24 hours of his life. They would take him to court. They would try him. They would find no fault with him. They would beat him with a whip. They would put a crown of thorns on him. What are you doing, Lord? I'm laying down my life that you might have life. They slapped him. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a tree on his back. Watch him. Marched him up a hill called Calvary. And on top of the hill, that good shepherd would lay his life down. Laid on the wood. They drove nails in his hand. He laid there. They drove nails in his feet. They hung him up between two thieves. He could have called 72,000 plus angels. He didn't call no angels. He stayed there. He stayed there for us that we might have life. And they took him down after he suffered on the cross, buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he resurrected with power as a great shepherd. And he gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. What one must hear the gospel story, the gospel of the shepherd on the cross, suffering, bleeding, being led as sheep to the slaughter, shall pierce your heart, check your heart if it doesn't bother you, that Jesus hung there for you and I. And when he said it was finished, he had kept the will of his Father. They buried him, and he got up. And you must have believed that with all of your heart. Number two, Acts 15, 7, you got to hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Number three, you got to repent of your sin right where you are today. You said, Brother Brooks, I want life more abundantly. Well, hear the sheep call, shepherd calling you. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I stand at your door and knock. If you open, I'll come in, and I'll sup with you, and you with me. He's calling. Can you hear your Savior calling? You ought to say, hallelujah, praise God. My Savior is calling me. Isn't that good? That I might have what? Life. Now I might have life what? More abundant, super excessive, abundantly above and beyond measure. And then he says, repent because of that. Confess me before men. Do you believe I'm the Son of God? And we'll baptize you this morning as commanded by the Lord. We want to know if you'll do that. We want to know if you'll do that. If you'll do that, if you'll come now. And here's the sheep. Those of us in the pasture, in the sheepfold already. We're in it. Jesus loves us. He's got us protected. Just stay in the church. Don't leave the Lord. Don't leave the church. But maybe you've been gone. And you need to come back to the sheepfold. You come back to repentance and confession. Or maybe just a weak sheep and you see yourself falling too far from grace, too far from salvation, too far from safety of the shepherd. You got to come back home. You need to come home. And you come home crying, just like the prodigal son then. I've sinned against you, Lord. I admit that I've done wrong. Just like the prodigal son, I'm on my way back home, down on my bending knees, begging you to save this soul of mine. Please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. Here's where I'm appealing to come. Those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ, I talk directly to you. I told you there's only one sheepfold, only one church, only one shepherd, and that's Christ. He gave the command to save the in the church Christ. That's the one church. Y'all talk directly. You say, what do I need to do, preach? I've been baptized before. You got to get baptized according to truth. You need to come down here right now and let us baptize you according to truth. Amen. And you obey the truth by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, will carry out the command to baptize you, cleanse you of your sin, and the Lord will add you to the church of Christ. And there you stay until you die. Amen, somebody. And then the members of the church, we going through stuff in life. Brother Brooke going through stuff. You going through stuff. We all get stuff. Stuff can stress us out. Man, I'm trying my best to relieve stress. Stress. That's why. Don't worry about it. I'm telling myself, don't worry about it. Just let it go. When you worry, that's not pleasing to the Lord. We got to let stuff go. You got to let it go and give it to who? Lord, give it to God. Give it to God. Because folk will stress you and kill you. Stuff will stress you and kill you. And what we got to do is let the stuff go. Let go. Let God. Let go. Let God. When you come, as together we stand and sing a song of intercession.